We welcome back Dr. Berge, Michael Berge, Blue Cross vet. Since 1929, Blue Cross Veterinary Clinic has been a locally owned and operated clinic serving pets from Aberdeen, Hoquiam, Monty, surrounding communities, and Dr. Berge is here. You haven't been here since 1929.
I have not. I've only been here since 1993.
But how many owners is the...
I'm only number three.
Yeah.
We're going on 100 years, and I'm only the third veterinarian.
Wow. Must be doing something right.
Yeah. Well, you know, we all really love it here in the harbor. You know, all of us, Dr. Clark, Dr. Fuller, and me, mm-hmm. came from elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And but we stay here because it's so wonderful.
How's business been?
Crazy. You know, every veterinary clinic, every plumber, every electrician mm-hmm. just has way more work than they can handle, mm-hmm. you know, and which is a double-edged sword. But, yeah, Blue Cross Vet also is really kind of busy, but that doesn't mean we don't want your call, because every business, we don't want to turn away business just because we're busy right now, because we know we might not be busy down the line.
Right, right. So you're accepting new patients?
Oh, yeah, just call us. And then the way it can be disappointing is that you might have to wait longer than you want to.
Right, okay. But they do have emergency places.
We don't personally do emergencies. We don't. Mm-hmm. We used to, but with the laws changing, if somebody comes in with an emergency patient and the patient is really messed up and dies, mm-hmm. If I don't have every single form of modern medicine known to man, then that's malpractice.
Wow.
And the only way to defend myself against malpractice is to say, oh, I can't take emergencies. You need to go to a dedicated emergency facility.
Wow. Those laws, they keep a-changing.
Yeah. Mm. You know, it used to be, well, we just do your best, and, you know, if a patient dies, oh, doctor, I know you tried.
Right.
Now it's, I'm going to grind you into the mud.
Wow. People are so nice.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so if you have any pet questions, that's why you're here, right?
You bet. So this is actually an answer, you know, question answer time slot. So we encourage people to call or email if you're shy, and you can ask a question, and I will attempt to answer. And if we don't get questions, I'll just make stuff up.
Yeah, just wing it, right? So if you have any questions, it's 360-533-5259. You can email or text message johnny@jodesha.com. And fleas, my dogs are going crazy, and we've tried the big pill things.
Okay, which brand did you try?
I don't know.
Okay.
I
can talk about fleas. I talk about fleas a lot.
And they're still going crazy. It's like it didn't work.
Well, in case you hadn't noticed, the fleas are bugs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then bugs, the people try to poison bugs, and then the bugs get resistant to the poison, and then we invent new poisons, and then the bugs get resistant to that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was going on long before humans ever entered the deal. There are lots of natural plants where their sap is naturally toxic to bugs,
mm-hmm.
and the bugs in those areas are naturally resistant to that particular toxin. So this game has been going on for millions of years. But we kind of supercharge it with scientific technology, and we keep coming out with new poisons. The perfect poison is something that is absolutely deadly for the bug and absolutely safe for the agricultural worker or your pet. And that's a hard job, but we do our best. And some of them, like Advantage, when it hit the market 30 years ago, was really, really good. It's still low toxicity. You won't hurt your pet with it.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first couple of decades, it really did a number on the fleas. But then they got resistant because that's what they do. But there are other products out there that do work pretty nicely.
Yeah. Like any in particular?
Well, I think the one that you were just disappointed with mm-hmm. has been working pretty well. That might be the NexGard pill?
Yeah.
Chewable pill? Where did you get it from? From a vet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you've got something from a vet, it's probably one of the good ones.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be that your neighbors are not doing a very good job and the fleas are crawling across
We live out in the woods, so...
Okay, so it's just you.
Yeah, but we live out in the woods, so I'm sure there's fleas all over the place, yeah?
Well, not so much. And fleas that are out in the woods are usually the naive, non-resistant type.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing is if there are other pets within your premises that are not getting the good stuff, then okay, you need to get them all treated.
Oh, we got to treat them all?
Yeah.
Even the cats?
Oh, totally, especially the cats.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, this is the little pep talk that I give multiple times every single day. You know, if you say, well, I care about that one, but I don't care so much about that one, they're all little bags of blood for the fleas to feed on.
Right. I just never see the cats going crazy like the dogs do.
Well, Basically, if we were together, I would ask you how many. Okay, I'll ask you right now. How many pets do you have?
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Do I count the chickens and ducks?
No, not right now.
Okay. Let's see. 4, 2, 4, 6.
Six pets. And how many of them are dogs and how many of them?
Two dogs.
Okay, and 4 cats.
Yeah.
Okay, so what you need to do is get the good stuff, which you might already be doing for your dogs, and then you need to also get the good stuff for the 4 cats.
Now, will the good stuff that we use at the dogs, can we give to the cats, or is there a special cat version?
Every product will say this is for dogs or this is for cats.
I can't just cut off a chunk and give that to the cats.
Many times I will. What's a psychological word? When you help somebody, you're an enabler. I can be an enabler for that, but it's mildly illegal.
Mildly.
Well, what the deal is, like for instance, Bravecto, which is one of the mainstays I have. It's a 3-month chewable pill for dogs, but if you get Bravecto for your cat, it's a little tube of liquid you squirt onto their back.
Oh, yeah, between their shoulder blades.
Yeah, because cats don't accept pills very well.
Right.
So it's still Bravecto made by the same company, and the dosages are carefully regulated to be safe for your dog or your cat. Mm-hmm. But for your cat, it's a liquid on the back.
Okay.
But they're expensive. You know, and
yeah, I don't like them that much.
Yeah. Oh, okay. We won't go down there.
Oh, okay.
But I should say that, every veterinarian sells products as a source of income, and we do that too. But sometimes the markup of veterinarians may be higher than you feel comfortable with. And I just wanted to say that if a veterinarian, just like your physician, recommends a product, there is no law that says you have to buy that product from that physician or that veterinarian. The physicians gave up on the pharmacy game decades ago. And so even though veterinarians have their own pharmacy and we do earn a little income from it, if your veterinarian recommends a product, you can buy it online for much cheaper.
So why did most vets get out of the pharmacy?
Oh, no, the vets are still in the pharmacy business. Oh. The physicians got out of it because it was too much work. The pharmacists were already there, so you've got your physician and your pharmacist, and it was always the case where the physician would make a recommendation, and in the old days, the pharmacist actually had to grind stuff up and actually make stuff.
Wow.
Which many physicians would be their own pharmacists, but over time, you found you could make more money if you just stuck with your specialty. So the physician would just be doing exams and making recommendations, and the pharmacist would be grinding stuff up and putting it in little pills and things. And then also over the years, the pharmacist stopped mixing their own products. Now they just market, they hold inventory and sell you stuff based on the physician's recommendation.
If you have any questions for Dr. Berge in regards to pets,
right? Well, actually,
life questions.
Yeah, if I don't want to answer it, I'll just tell you no.
Dr. Berge is here, Blue Cross vet, answering any pet questions you may have. What are some common issues that people are having? Fleas. That's one, right?
Right.
What are some others that?
Well, people do get confused about nutrition.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money to be made by convincing people to buy your brand of food.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way to make money is to lie.
Oh, yeah?
I know this may be a new idea to things. And one of the best ways to lie, there's no secret to making a good food. Mm-hmm. You buy good ingredients, you do certain processes and put it in a bag, and it's good food.
Mm-hmm.
But what's way more profitable is to take crappy ingredients. Can I use crappy?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Happy, crappy, crappy.
is
to use cheap ingredients, put them in a bag, and call them expensive ingredients. Now, that's really profitable. So when you're buying something, the labeling laws really don't force the companies to say this is made out of bad stuff and this is made out of good stuff, because on the label it says everything is made out of good
stuff. But they pass laws on you, being a vet, that you can't do emergencies, otherwise you're held responsible.
Oh, don't go me on.
Wow.
Yeah, rules are funny things.
Mm-hmm.
We make rules. We make rules, but we rarely take rules away.
Right.
You notice we're still using rules that were made 200 years ago.
Hmm.
The different legal...
Mumbo-jumbo?
Mumbo-jumbo, backdoor secrets and things like that. Anyway, so it's easy to make a rule. It's hard to remove a rule.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, back on to food. You know, yes, good food is better than bad food. Dogs who are eating good food, their fur is glossier, they're healthier.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be hard for you to tell the difference.
How do you tell the difference?
Well, I used to say, and I still kind of say, well, just buy something that's expensive. But there are mm-hmm. some of the really expensive foods that
are using cheap ingredients.
Okay, there's no single, I'm not aware of any super expensive food that's actually using cheap ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes they're using just okay ingredients.
Okay.
So sometimes you're paying too much. It's like going to a fancy restaurant and, you know, you really didn't get a better meal than the medium grade restaurant.
Right.
But anyway, make your call. But I can say that the super cheap foods are usually not very good.
Right. They're cheap for a reason?
Yeah. And sure,
and they can cause problems, too,
well,
right?
Well, they can cause a dull fur coat. Some dogs, you can have two dogs. One dog you feed the cheap food and it lives to the end of his days totally happy.
Mm-hmm.
The other dog you feed the cheap food and, not so good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very hard to predict.
Okay.
But that's true for humans, too. You know, if mm-hmm. we have a good diet, we tend to be healthier than if we have a crappy. Can I say crappy?
Yeah.
Crap. Yeah, eating a good diet is really good for humans, too, particularly the vegetables and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our body is actually designed to have more than 50% vegetable matter. And I don't mean like white flour. I mean like vegetables.
I love that gluten.
I like gluten. I still eat gluten all the time.
Yeah.
That's an example where it gets really, really complicated. Do you want me to get into the nitty-gritty of that?
Okay.
I am a veterinarian on your talk show right now.
Sure.
Okay. There is a chemical called gluten. Mm-hmm. Gluten can be used for humans as a thickener. If you take anything and boil it up and add a little gluten to it, it will make a creamy, thick sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And so this has been known.
So it's like a roux?
Well, it's just a thickener, you know, just like pectin or anything else. And this has been known for thousands of years. And the main source of gluten is wheat. So traditionally, in a lot of traditional foods, you know, if you take any wheat, you know, grind up some wheat and then boil it up, you make a kind of a paste. Part of that is the gluten. The gluten helps to form the bread. It's a kind of like a silicone, you know, a digestible silicone. And it makes certain consistencies in the food. So that's what gluten is. Now, all along, some people have been allergic to gluten. People can be allergic to lots of different things, shellfish, gluten, whatever. So people have been allergic to gluten, but what really got everybody creeped out was since gluten has been traditionally used as a thickener in both human foods and pet foods, there are factories that would make tons and tons of purified gluten. You take your wheat, which is mostly starch, and you extract the gluten, and then starch is sold elsewhere. But now you've got gluten that different companies will pay a premium for.
Mm-hmm.
And so the gluten that we were eating was all made in America because we grow a lot of wheat in America. But then this happens, started about 20 years ago, maybe 30.
Mm-hmm.
It was discovered by a lot of these companies that they could get cheaper gluten from China. Even though they were using wheat that was grown in the United States.
China.
Yes. Which, by the way, was probably not even growing their own wheat. We were probably growing the wheat, shipping it to China, and they were extracting the gluten and then selling the gluten back to us. So, of course, corporations do what corporations do. They buy whatever's cheapest. And that was fine for a while when the Chinese gluten was nice, pure gluten. But everybody likes to cheat if they can. And China does have a bit of a history of enabling cheating. And
what?
I'm sorry, yeah. So it started, it was discovered that there was a chemical called melamine that you could add to gluten that would fool the test.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way you would test for gluten, which is a protein, is you would do a protein test, and the protein tests for nitrogen. So if you add this chemical that has a high nitrogen compound, has a high nitrogen, or it's rich in nitrogen, you add this to your cheap gluten that you've adulterated, and then the inspector does the routine test, and it says, oh, we've got lots of nitrogen in it. Mm-hmm. Well, the nitrogen is not the nitrogen of the true gluten. It's right. nitrogen from this toxic chemical that they added.
Oh, great. That's so, kind of like the fluoride. This is to say, yeah, I hate to go right. into that rabbit hole. But
And so, add a little and then add a little bit more because you get away with it.
Right.
And then over the years, the level of this toxin went up higher. And, of course, you would it was spotty. You might test 100 specimens, and only two or three of them might have this toxin because
right.
that was the company.
Yeah, we're willing to risk it.
Yeah,
roll
yeah.
the dice.
Right, yeah. And even within a company, it might be different teams of people.
Yeah.
So, but some of these ones that had the toxins would have a very high level of toxins.
Mm-hmm.
And so then this gluten, which some of which was poisonous, was then being shipped back to the United States. It ended up killing some pets and getting them sick. And it also killed some Chinese babies, too, because
wow.
it was being used as a thickener for infant formula.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the poo-poo hit the fan. I can say poo-poo, right?
Yeah. Poo-poo,
okay.
poo-poo, poo-poo,
okay.
poo-poo.
Well, the poo-poo hit the fan. Some criminals in China were executed by the Chinese because they really...
Executed.
Dead, yes.
Wow.
You know, they can get really pissed off when things are not going well.
Mm-hmm.
But then this created a public relations disaster for gluten because a lot of people were already... allergic to gluten,
mm-hmm.
and now there was humans and animals were dying from this poisonous gluten,
mm-hmm.
and the whole idea was mixed up in people's brains, so now gluten is just utterly evil.
It's Local Matters. You're on the air with Dr. Berge.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, when I was growing up, my parents had several dogs, and they never, ever bought dog food. They went to the grocery store. They bought dinner for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine, when you look back on our history, there wasn't dog food. So what is it? Is somebody said, well, let's just try and make a bunch of money?
There's some of that. You know, when I graduated from vet school, we spent many semesters about how to make the perfect dog food and that those stupid people were feeding homemade food. And then I got out in the real world, and there was a 20-year-old Chihuahua that had never had a commercial food in its life, was eating McDonald's burgers and things, but yet it was 20 years old. And I started to say, well, maybe I should just keep my eyes open. There's more than one way to deal with that. But, yeah, dogs were invented long before dog food, and they did just fine with whatever was lying around. And that's what you're sharing with us right now. It's totally true.
All right. Well, thank you, Doctor.
You bet. Thanks for the call.
I got an email. I'm not sure what to do if my pet might be dying. How do I know where to take my sick or dying pet in the harbor?
Now, that is a tough call.
Mm-hmm.
Because, first of all, if it looks like your pet is dying, if it's really ill, it might really be ill.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be hard. Everybody, what you do is you call every single veterinarian in the harbor to be mm-hmm. seen. And then maybe they'll see you, maybe they won't, even if they don't have full emergencies. Like, for instance, I just said I can't do regular emergencies. That doesn't mean I can't see a dying patient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they come in, and I would say, oh, poo-poo, you know, this animal is messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's so messed up that we would just agree to put it to sleep right mm-hmm. then and there.
Yeah.
Or we might say, well, you know, it's kind of going down the tubes, but let's get you something, a little baling wire and duct tape to keep it together for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
These are all totally legal things for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the person who is just emailing us needs to do, is that's the initial assessment by any veterinarian.
Mm-hmm.
And then that veterinarian will tell you, oh, you're just making stuff up. It's really not that bad. Or, oh.
Yeah. Poo-poo.
Poo-poo. And then you take it from there. That's our job, is to help you make those decisions.
Okay. But there could be an opportunity. Oh, it's just this. Here's some antibiotics.
Oh, it happens all the time. At least half of the time when people come in thinking their animal's dying, it's not dying at all.
Right now we have Dr. Michael Berge, Blue Cross vet. And answering any pet questions that you may have at 360-533-5259, text or email johnny@jodesha.com. So, okay, you know I have cats, right?
Yes, you have four cats.
Yeah. Now,
and two dogs.
Right. Big dogs. Well, the pit bull isn't big. She's just a tank. But you know what I mean. You've seen
right.
them all. So we have the youngest cat, who is an offspring from another one of our cats, right? Like, we have the mom and then the kid, right?
Okay.
And the kid is like almost full size, like almost big, as big as the mom, if not bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been fixed.
Uh-huh.
But he keeps like wanting to fight, like not real cat fight, but like play fight, and she's just getting so sick of it.
But now he's getting big, so it's harder for her to defend herself.
Right. And, you know, he still wants to nurse sometimes. Is that going to be, like, forever?
How old is he?
Oh, I don't know. He's old. Well, not old, but...
Okay. Well, generally...
He's almost her size.
Yeah. She'll tell him to quit the nursing. You know, usually that goes away. But as for fighting, you know, cats, particularly when they're younger, they fool around, you know, and it's not really a gender thing. They just mess around.
Yeah.
And...
She gets ticked off.
Yeah, and well, that's kind of the way cats do it. You mm-hmm. fool around, and then somebody gets pissed off enough, and they flatten their ears, and then they hiss, and then if they're really angry, mm-hmm. They'll scratch you. Okay. And the cats scratch other cats all the time.
Yeah.
And I many times those cats then come into me with infected wounds that I have to give them antibiotics for.
Okay. I figured I'd ask you about that since... Nobody else is asking anything right now.
Right, yeah. Is anyone's listening? I know you're out
nobody's
there.
Nobody's listening.
No, yes, you are. I was just telling you about poisonous gluten. Everyone loves stuff about that.
Right.
But anyway, in terms of your cats, just you could ignore it. They'll work it out.
Yeah. Okay. The hierarchy in the cat world?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
The pecking order.
Okay. Some people like to clip their dog's nails themselves. I understood that you can, hurt them if you do it wrong. Like, you can get too far back on the nail.
Well, you know, and a lot of people are really nervous about clipping their own dog's nails and their cat's nails. You can clip cat nails, too.
Mm-hmm.
But really, they shouldn't be. Yes, if you do it wrong, the animal will look at you like a monster and bleed all over your carpet.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to kill them. They cannot bleed out through a clipped nail.
Okay.
But you feel horrible because
right.
you clipped it
too
short.
You don't want to hurt your pet.
But every nail has the place you're supposed to cut and the place you're not supposed to cut.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to use some judgment on that. And usually there'll be instructions. You can on the internet, or you can go to the library and get books on it and to where to cut. Mm-hmm. Or you can ask your veterinarian. Mm-hmm. And you cut the dead part of the nail and don't cut the live part of the nail.
Do you do that stuff too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I could just bring the animal into you and you can clip them.
Right, but okay. I am much more expensive than PetSense. There's a nice nail clipping service available over there where you just bring your pet and they clip the nails and away you go.
Oh.
And I'll do the nails too, but I'll only do it when I'm seeing the animal already. So now you have to pay an office call. And then my nail clip fee is also higher than PetSense.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm perfectly happy to do it, but
I'll do it.
But you know,
it's
going
to cost you.
Right. And, you know, that's just the way it is.
Right. You've got to keep the lights on.
Well, you know, and the thing is, from my point of view, the PetSense nail clip is really cheap. I don't know how they can even do it. Because, somebody brings me a little puppy and I've clipped the nails and say, wow, easy money. And then they bring in this 130-pound pit bull with an attitude and want the nails clipped for the same price. And, you know, that's a real adventure.
Right.
But they came to me, the veterinarian. I'm their last resort. So if I won't do it, and many times they do come in, the groomers won't deal with me anymore. Will you do it?
Yeah.
Well, I will, unless the animal is just totally wacko. Then even I have to say no. But
well,
I
that's probably my pit bull. Yeah, she's pretty... antisocial.
Well, you know, that's what muzzles are for.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we have some of those.
But so we will, at Blue Cross Vet and other veterinary clinics, we will only give up, because it's a kind of a slap in the face to ourselves. You know, we're professionals. If we can't do it, that's kind of a slur on our personal reputation. So if somebody comes in with a tough nail clip, we get a muzzle on first thing because we don't want anybody hurt.
Right.
And then bring in an assistant and dogpile them. You know,
can you just, you know, give the dog a shot, knock him out, then do it?
People often ask me to do that, but that's anesthesia. That's a whole new can of worms.
Oh. Hey, it's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Good morning, Johnny. Good morning, Dr. Berge.
Good morning.
I had just a quick comment and question, and maybe you can talk about it. I'll get off the air after I ask. Is we just discovered a couple of years ago how toxic some common houseplants and flowers are to cats, like lilies, for example.
The daylilies are super toxic.
Yeah, my wife loves stargazer lilies, and we have a cat that we acquired a couple of years ago that likes to get up and wander around in the flower pots, and just stumbled on the internet, just happened to stumble across a veterinarian's page where they were talking about the toxicity of different common house plants and garden flower bed plants and that kind of stuff, like lavender and different things that are very toxic to cats, and I had no idea.
Yeah, and I'm glad you shared that, because that is an actual genuine toxicity. Now, I kind of get bent out of shape because there are a lot of things that are really not that toxic that have been added to the list. But some of those houseplants are actually genuinely toxic. And the only way you can find out about it is to kind of get on the internet or go to the library and read up on it to find out which is which.
Yeah, I started researching all the different kinds of flowers and plants that we have growing around the house, and especially the ones that are in, you know, that we plant or that we bring home or whatever. And I was really kind of distressed to find out that, I mean, just even a little bit of lily pollen on their fur, if they groom that off their fur, that can kill them. I mean, it's just amazing. So.
Yeah, and I'm glad for sharing, because you know how that lily pollen just rubs off very easily. And the daylilies, normally the daylilies would be growing outside in your garden, but the cats will wander around there too.
Yes, especially when we have other plants that attract butterflies and stuff, and they're up there trying to catch the butterflies, and they're wandering around with a bunch of lilies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just something I wanted to mention.
You bet, and thanks for calling, because that's just the sort of thing we want callers to share here on this time slot.
360-533-5259. Text message or email any pet questions you may have to johnny@jodesha.com.
One last thing about cats before we move on.
Yeah.
Cats are actually a lot more susceptible to many poisons than dogs are. Because a lot of poisons are concentrated in the kidneys, and the cat kidneys are super powerful. You can feed a cat salt water and it won't die from the salt, whereas the dog or the human would die. So the kidney is very powerful, but at the same time, while it's working so hard to purify things, it also sucks in the toxic compounds, and they can just burn it out in just a few hours if it's too much of a concentration. So the same poison that you could eat personally or you could feed to your dog and would just make you a little ill would kill the cat.
Okay, my dog was eating grass. Does that mean he's sick? I've heard that before.
Okay, no. It means that he likes the grass.
Okay.
And now, even if he eats the grass and throws up afterwards, now if he's acting healthy, he's still healthy.
Okay.
It's just a habit that dogs have.
I've been hearing more and more about depression, dog depression. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
But except, you know, it's part of the labor contract with the dogs that they're supposed to be the happy ones and they're supposed to fix our depression.
Mm-hmm.
And they do their best, but dogs can get sad too.
Okay.
And particularly, you know, if you've lost anything, even a child going to college, that counts as a death as far as the dog is concerned.
Right, because they're gone.
Yeah, they're gone. And they will go into a grooming, a mourning period. Mm-hmm. But just like we do, they do get over it.
Dr. Berge, Blue Cross Vet, what is the phone number?
Okay, the Blue Cross Vet phone number is area code 360-533-2591. Now, I finished saying, you know, that we're kind of busy, but that does not mean we don't want your call.
Right.
You know, if there's anything that you need for a small fee, we will attempt to.
You offer a service.
Yeah, and you know, people try to get free veterinary advice over the telephone all the time, and I don't begrudge that at all. I just don't do it because as
you do it here.
Yeah, I do it here. My one hour of free veterinary advice. But anytime somebody says I need to talk to the doctor, our very courteous and very skilled staff. We'll then attempt politely to convert that into an office call of some sort, which you then have to pay. Our office calls are $55. But it really is worth it, because you come in and you've brought your pet, and I can pretty much guarantee that I will give you $55 worth of value one way or another. whether it's free psychiatric exam or telling
for the pet
you
or for
telling
me.
Which medicine is right.
Oh.
Now, sometimes I will even give under the table human advice, but that is technically illegal for me.
Oh, okay.
Well, but you see, it's not full. Okay. If I give any form that can be construed as human medical advice or human medical care for a fee, mm-hmm. that is flagrantly illegal.
Well,
okay. But your mother-in-law can give you that same advice. It's totally legal for her.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's not perceived as a value, then I can also give free advice.
Right.
But if it's perceived as speaking as a veterinarian and giving mm-hmm. advice to a human,
right.
that's out over the line.
I get it. They say words matter.
Yes. Oh, yeah. They love saying what has been said cannot be unsaid. Uh-huh. How many times do you think of saying, oh, if only I had not said those words. I didn't even really mean them.
Mike emailed, my goldfish really is 7 inches long, but he's eating those flakes like for 2 years plus. Can I change it up and give him something like a red worm or real food?
Well, those flakes are actually very nourishing for the goldfish. They're formulated to be easily digestible.
Mm-hmm.
Goldfish, on the other hand, are actually kind of a golden-colored trash fish, and they eat just everything.
A trash fish.
they eat everything, yeah. One thing I had heard is that if it's wintertime and the water's really cold, if you give them too much delicious food, sometimes they'll gorge themselves and it putrefies in their belly and can be harmful for them.
Mm.
But in warm weather like right now, if they swallow it, they know what to do with it.
All right. And is there cheap fish food that kind of like the dog food thing?
You know, I don't have personal experience on that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's quite as much cheap goldfish. I don't think there's really any cheap fish food.
Yeah.
In the same sense that I was talking about earlier about yeah. cheap dog food. I think mm-hmm. all the fish food, some is better than others, but I think even the cheapest fish food is still pretty good.
Okay. Good stuff. Well, yeah. we have a few more minutes left with Dr. Berge. Time is running out to get that free pet advice, because if you call him at the...
Yeah, I've often thought of we should set up a 900 number so that just the mere pleasure of talking with us is, mm-hmm. is ticking away and generating an income for us.
Nice.
It's just kind of like those porn...
Go to our Patreon
yeah.
account,
and, yeah.
or Patreon page. And
yeah, actually, I have a Patreon page for my online comic, Ships Fox.
Yeah.
And I actually got... a $5 commitment the other day. The first
really?
Time ever.
Now, is that a monthly or is that
yeah,
a one-time?
The way it's normal, you can be one-time, but normally it's considered to be more courteous to do it on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So
wow.
somebody gave me a commitment of €5 per month.
Nice.
Just because they like my stuff.
Where can I find your stuff?
Oh, if you want to find out about Ships Fox, which is a magical fox in an alternate world called Avalon, you go to DeviantArt.com,
mm-hmm.
and that has lots and thousands of different artists. But I'm the one who's called Song Dog, SongDawg.
Mm-hmm.
So search for Song Dog, and you'll get my page, and then you'll get a big disclaimer saying that it's all full of porn, because I sometimes talk about romantic ideas, so that qualifies as porn.
Oh.
And so you ignore that. You say, yes, okay, I can talk to Dr. Bert, to Song Dog about
right.
his Ships Fox. And then once you click that it's okay for you to hear naughty things, which there's not that much naughty there,
mm-hmm.
Then you can see my stuff.
What would be an age-appropriate cutoff for your...
Honestly, you know, when I was 9 years old, I would have thought this was just fine.
Okay.
Because just the idea that somebody could maybe have sex or have babies or something
mm-hmm.
and on that particular
they
website.
They flag it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Crazy times.
Yeah. And that's the funny thing is because when I was a kid, you could go to the library. Just a random book would have a sex scene in it.
Mm-hmm.
Now everything on... And that's still true in the bookstores and the library.
And on TV now.
Pardon?
And on TV
yeah.
now.
But on the internet, if there's anything that's not just, you know, cotton candy, you have to flag it.
Wow.
And that's because everybody who is trying to make a living online by presenting stuff, and particularly multiple artists, they're being sued like crazy. So they're putting these flags to protect themselves.
Wow.
So if they flag pretty much everything...
Why are they being sued?
Because they're being naughty.
Oh, right.
Well, I know.
It's just weird.
You
can do things on the internet we can't do on the radio.
Yeah.
So,
you know, podcast on the internet, but that also would be considered. And then the other thing is, if you have an independent website, you can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm dealing with are these big websites that are trying to please everybody.
Yeah, those portals.
Yeah, yeah. And there are millions of people, some of whom are real kind of...
Not nice?
Not nice, and also you can't please everybody.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people that... would just like everything to be, you know, Saturday morning cartoons. And anything that's not, they're trying to destroy. And, because the internet is dirty.
You know. Some of it.
Yeah. But anyway, that's what all these disclaimers are for. Mm-hmm. The companies that are presenting artists are compelled to have these disclaimers to protect them from lawsuits. Mm-hmm. And it's very simple for you is when you're going on the internet, when you see a disclaimer, just say, sure. No problem.
Yeah.
And then,
or decline,
yeah,
and it'll take you somewhere else,
yeah,
right?
And a lot of these sites actually have everybody voluntarily flags their own material as above this level or below this level. And I do that all the time. Mm-hmm. Like episode 65 might be totally child safe, mm-hmm. and episode 66 has some romantic themes.
Mm-hmm.
So I would so flag it. And so somebody who's said no on that permission would see episode 65, but
and
would
67.
Fail. Yeah, and there would be a blank. And they'd say, well, what happened to 66? Well, maybe click and allow yourself to see more, and then you would see episode 66.
Okay. But we're not going to see any risque,
well, I
graphic.
No, there will be no humping, no direct humping.
Okay.
But I do like romantic themes,
right?
And, you know, if you don't, then probably you're not my right client.
So when I show up to Blue Cross Vet, there'll be some candles and
no, as a veterinarian I'm totally, you know, but as an artist on the internet, I do like romantic themes.
And nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Right. that was kind of fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Only a couple more, about a minute left with Dr. Berge. If you have any pet questions, you're running out of time. You're going to have to wait till next month to get any free pet advice.
Right. And, in fact, if you call right now, I don't think we could answer the question in the 90 seconds or so we have left.
Right.
But, anyway, it is a pleasure to be here. I really do like mouthing off, and I enjoy your patience that allow me to be naughty just a little bit.
Hey, I enjoy you coming in here, just hanging out, you know? You know, I was wondering if you were going to bring anything in, because sometimes you bring just interesting things in, and you didn't this time. I still have the coffee beans, too.
Oh, okay. Well, I think they're probably stale now, so they're just for looking at this point.
Oh, okay.
Sure, I'll bring something in.
Okay. Yeah, just something interesting. I don't know, a cat carcass. No, I'm kidding, not really.
Well, actually, in my truck right now, I have a manatee bone, which I was going to show you one of these days.
Okay.
But not
maybe
today.
Next time.
Okay.